This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhu al-ikhwatu al-kiram. Uhayyikum bi tahiyyati al-Islam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullah ta'ala an yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir 'anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilman ma nafa'. ورزقا واسع وعملا ما رفع عليه نتوكل وإليه نيب وهو حسبنا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. We send peace and blessings to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah for wide sustenance, for knowledge which is beneficial, and for deeds from us which raises in our daraja. On Him we are utterly dependent, to Him we turn in repentance, He is enough for us, hasbuna, and He is our protector, and what an excellent protector, ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir, and what an excellent guide and helper. There is no power or might except that of Allah. After saying salam to you, brothers and sisters, let's resume hadith number 26, which we just started, more of an introduction, the last lesson around the hadith and around some of the sources in the Sharh of the Arba'een I mentioned last time, and about Abu Huraira. This hadith, the one that Imam Nawawi actually has, although it's reported by Bukhari and Muslim, but the narration that he actually puts in his 40 hadith is the one in Sahih Muslim. And it's interesting in the narration here in the chain that along the chain, the one reporting from Abu Huraira is the famous tabi'i called Hammam ibn Munabbih. Hammam ibn Munabbih is one of his most famous students, and who wrote a transcript which was available for some time, and other scholars came later and took from the nuskha of Hammam ibn Munabbih of a hadith is written down, narrated from Abu Huraira. This is very famous, and it counters the arguments that hadith started to be written. And I mentioned this right early on in the introduction. Yeah, counters the arguments that said, oh, the first to write hadith was Imam Malik, who died 179 Hijrah. Yeah, which is not true. Imam ibn al-Munabbih is writing directly from Abu Huraira. Yeah, and scholars who came at that time and after him mentioned this, written document. It's very famous. And it's interesting in this one because he says to the one narrating from Hammam ibn al-Munabbih, قال, he said, هَذَا مَا حَدَّثْنَا أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ عَنْ مُحَمَّدٍ. This is what Abu Huraira reported to us from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is strange to find because normally Sahaba say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ or قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, but this actually mentions عَنْ مُحَمَّدٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the chain. Why? Because he says, ذَكَرَ أَحَدِيثٍ. Then, after mentioning this statement, that Hammam ibn al-Munabbih, yeah, saying from Abu Huraira, فَذَكَرَ أَحَدِيثٍ مِنْهَا. He mentions a hadith, Abu Huraira, amongst them is this hadith. Yeah, amongst them this hadith. Yeah, it's a whole collection, you see, that Hammam ibn al-Munabbih has taken from Abu Huraira. And amongst them is this hadith. Yeah? which is what is said in the chain of Sahih Muslim. And كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس. Every joint from human beings has a duty upon the human being to give sadaqa every day the sun comes up. قال, then he further said, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'dilu bayn ithnain sadaqa, to make peace between two people is a charity. Wa tu'inu rajula fi dabbati, and to help a person onto his animal, fatahmiluhu alayha, to help a man on his beast, or help him with his load, فَتَحْمِلُوا عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَهُ صَدَقَةً, to help him with his belongings onto the beast, the horse, the donkey, or the camel, to help him with his belongings onto it is a sadaqah. Then he said, قال, وَالْكَلِمَةُ طَيِّبَ صَدَقَةً, and the good word is a sadaqah. Good word is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ خَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً, and every footstep that a person walks to salah, is a sadaqah, is a charity. وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً, and for you to remove something harmful from the road or the path is a charity. So various, Bukhari mentions similarly, but mentions it in the third person that I mentioned last time. So this is the hadith that Imam Nawawi mentions. Imam Nawawi says very little about this hadith, as he normally does in his sharh. Suffice it to say, he says for salama, kullu salama, the first couple of words, every salama, which I translate every joint, there's difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha, because salama was a kalima which is mushtarak, meaning it has various meanings. And therefore, ulama came with various opinions. Imam Nawawi, for example, salama means organs of the body of the human being. And he said it is mentioned that there are 360 organs. Now, you could imply from the organs that, because the word organ itself also is a word which has more than one meaning. It could mean organs, but he says ala kulli udu minha sadaqa, on every one of these. So when he says it is mentioned 360, even from his time and after him, others mention that the joints in the body of a human being are 360. It's possible Imam Nawawi meant by organs the joints. That's the only udhur I give him, excuse, because the word udhu or organs can have that implication indirectly. But it certainly doesn't have the meaning of 360 organs as we apply it today. It would be wrong to take that meaning from it. And then really he mentions about, that all good, as he mentioned in the previous hadith, he's applying the previous hadith, mixing it with this one, because they are. He's saying, for example, saying La ilaha illallah, saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, which is not mentioned in this hadith, it's mentioned in the previous one. But they're interchangeable about, because he's talking about righteous deeds, good things, and encouragement to it. Every good thing you do is a sadaqah. So therefore he mentions that again in his explanation. And he's saying, basically, whoever does this, and every step somebody takes to the mosque is a sadaqah for them, and whoever does this Imam Nawawi says, "Fi awwal yawmihi." Whoever does this in the beginning of the day, yeah. So he's talking about especially Salatul Duha, which is mentioned in one of the hadith, and I mentioned to you last time. Yeah, I'll mention it again. Yeah, whoever does this at the early part of the day, yeah, it is taken as a sadaqah, purification for his body, and he or she is protected for the rest of the day. Yeah, that's what Imam Nawawi says. And the implication of that is because some hadith came, and I mentioned them in the previous hadith, that let's see. Just give me 1 second and I'll find you one or two examples of it. Yeah, I'll come to it in a minute because I've got something else to say about the 360 that Prophet ﷺ mentions. But there is a hadith about this idea of doing something early in the day and then it's a protection for the rest of the day. And this hadith is sorry, I'm just having to look for it. I'm pretty sure I've got it. Anyway, this is hadith in Nasa'i, as far as I remember, and this hadith mentions about whoever prays four rakahs for me, it's a hadith Qudsi, then I will be enough to protect him for the rest of the day, for the evening. This is hadith, and that's the idea that is being presented by Imam Nawawi when he says that. He doesn't mention the hadith, but there is a hadith which actually mentioned that. Here we are. It's in Tirmidhi, actually, maybe other places, but it's in Tirmidhi who calls it Hassan. It's good hadith. It's Hassan or Sahih. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it's hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he could see that Allah says, Ya ibn Adam, irka li min awwal an-nahar. Oh, child of Adam, yeah, pray to me from at the beginning of the day, four rakats. Akfika akhirah. I'll be enough for you till the end of it. Yeah. And ulama said this four rakats at the beginning of the day indicate Salatul Duha, which we'll come to later. All right, that's why we guess that the idea of Salatul Duha already comes in this hadith anyway, yeah, linked with giving sadaqah. So why do I mention that hadith in Tirmidhi? Because that's what Imam Nawawi is implying when he says whoever does takes the footsteps and does salah is a sadaqah, then whoever does this in the early part of the day, it'll be enough for him to be protected for the rest of the day. He's taken it from this hadith, really, from Tirmidhi, which he doesn't mention, but I looked for this and I mention it to you. And and he implies as well that it's the implies the four rakahs are Salatul Duha. Imam At-Tufi, he also mentions, but he goes further, he says Sulama, Kullu Sulama, each joint, he says either can mean joint or it can mean organs of the body. Yeah. And everything requires a sadaqah to be given in it. And he's saying sadaqah, the reason for the sadaqah are two possibilities. One is for it to prevent any kind of tribulation or reduce the tribulation, push it away or reduce it by you giving sadaqah. Okay? There's a hadith on that which is actually not authentic. Yeah? Giving sadaqah pushes away the anger of Allah, pushes away tribulation. Not authentic. But the meaning is correct. The implication of it is correct. And why? Because there's a hadith authentic of when the eclipse occurred at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. An authentic hadith, Bukhari Muslim mentioned that the Sahaba became agitated and anxious. As it happened, the eclipse, you know, Ibrahim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son, also died on the same day. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did khutbah clarifying that whatever's happening to death, life of human beings, no link to the, you know, don't have these kind of superstitions. Nevertheless, with the eclipse happening and the sun disappearing, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, established the Salah, Salatul Kusuf, and said, do perform Salah, make dua, do istighfar, and give sadaqah when something like this happens. Yeah, which indirectly implies that sadaqah, yeah, with istighfar and dua is a way of reducing the tribulation that might come to others to protect yourself, isn't it? Yeah. And of course we have in the hadith وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِي الْخَطِيئَةُ كَمَا يُطْفِي الْمَاءُ النَّارِ كَمَا يُطْفِي الْمَاءُ النَّارِ which we had previously, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that giving charity wipes away sin like water extinguishes fire. Yeah. And that's one of the things that sadaqah does, wipes away, because sadaqah is like you're getting reward for every sadaqah you do. So the Prophet described it as giving sadaqah is like water extinguishing fire, because it's wiping away your sins. Yeah. And that's that idea is clearly there in an authentic hadith. Imam Tufi, for example, he's saying that sadaqah, the reason for sadaqah possibility is for reducing tribulation. That's there anyway. Yeah, that's an implication. And secondly, he says it is really to give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'am and the bounties he's given us. And that is really more of the meaning from this hadith. Yeah, more the meaning from this hadith. Why? I'll come to. And Ibn Rajab, similarly, yeah, he mentions this hadith. He mentions other versions of it as well, which I'll come to. And he also says that Sulama can mean bones. Yeah, it can mean some bones, and he implies that some ulama said it is the small bones in the joints of camels, yeah, but it's used to imply all the bones. He said Sulama is the name of some small bones in the in camels, yeah, in their feet, for example. And its implication, however, means all bones that animals have been given and human beings are given. That's one of his explanations. He says other people say that Sulama means the small bones, bones which are in the hands of human beings. Yeah, And but it's used to imply all bones in the body. Zarabozo is interesting. He takes that and he says small bones in the hands of human beings and how they are put together is a miraculous thing anyway, because the hand of the human being, whatever evolution you want to imply, is a miracle in itself. And it's dexterity. Yeah. The jump that you take from the so-called, if you follow evolution from us to human beings, and I don't accept it anyway, the jump from the chimp or the orangutan suddenly to the human being, just from a physical aspect, is too far of a jump in the yeah. And they say, oh, there's all these Homo erectus and all these other in between. Are they human or were they chimps? You know, we believe in when the human arrived, they arrived as we are with Adam alayhi salam. Yeah. He didn't have to go through gradation. So Adam wasn't walking around like that. And then we came and we stood up. Now the billam in them. Yeah. That's all nonsense.
Yeah? Why have we still got chimps if we evolved from them?
People, you say that as an argument, but you can have evolving and the animal that still carries on. I understand what you're saying. Fuqaha, I don't want to go into the argument of evolution, but ulama present day, there's various opinions. Even if you accept evolution, but you can't accept, even if you accept evolution, what has to be rejected, even though some Muslims do accept it, is evolution from chimp to human being. Adam came from the heavens.
Darwinism.
In an instant he came. Okay? So even those who accept it, this is where the problem is, because the Quran and Sunnah do not fit human beings, Adam and Hawa, coming from chimps. It
Darwinism
completely
disproved in 2009.
Some say that, but
oh, no.
The evolution from, evolution still carries on. I don't want to get drawn into the.
Yeah.
It's a big discussion. I could spend 3 hours on the evolution. That's not the point of this hadith. But I'm just mentioning it by the way of the miraculous thing. Because Zarabozo says the way the dexterity of the hand, yeah, it could have that implication from gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what He's given us. But reality is, let me tell you, the best explanation for kullu sulama, all is joints. Is joints. We don't need to go into this small bones of the hand and all this business. I'll tell you why it's the best explanation. You know, if you want to understand a particular word in the Quran and Hadith, where do you look first? In Quran and Hadith, don't you? Yeah, you cross-reference. Yeah. And if you don't find it there, then you go to the next stage of Sahaba giving the explanation. If you have something from the Quran Hadith means the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then to Sahaba if there's anything authentic back to them. And when they differ, then you've got more options. Yeah? Yeah. So when we look at this, let me now give you a Hadith from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, which is also reported similarly from others as well. Now listen to this one, which is in Sahih Muslim. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, taqul, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam qal, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi sallam, surely he said, innahu khuliqa kullu insanin min bani Adam. Surely, yeah, every human beings of the children of Adam has been created ala sittin wa thalath mia mafsalin, with 360 mafsalin joints. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that more than 1400 years ago. فَمَنْ كَبَّرَ اللَّهُ, whoever says Allahu Akbar, وَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ, and says Alhamdulillah, وَهَلَّلَ اللَّهُ, and says La ilaha illallah, وَسَبَّحَ اللَّهُ, and says Subhanallah, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهُ, and says Astaghfirullah, yeah, وَأَزَلَ Hajaran and Tariqin Nas, and removes a stone from the path of people. O Shoka, O a thorn from the path of people. O Azman, or a bone from the path of people. Yeah, and Tariqin Nas. Wa Amara bi Ma'ruf, and stands for that which is good and just. وَنَهَا عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ, and forbids and stands against all that which is wrong and bad and wretched. عَدَدَ تِلْكَ سِتِينَ وَثَلَاثْمِيَ سُلَامًا. Yeah, has accounted for the 360 sulama. Now he says 360. Notice the word sulama. What did he say at the beginning of the hadith? 360 mifsal. Yeah, mafsil or mifsal means joint. Yeah, that's the most clear and direct word. So notice how Prophet uses the word mifsal and 360 interchangeably with sulama. And notice also, have you noticed what this hadith is like? It's just like the other hadith. He's saying the same thing as he's saying in the other hadith, even hadith number 25 and 26, especially hadith 26, because it's talking about removing harmful things from the road, which is what hadith number 26 is saying. Yeah. So here, Ummul Mu'minin Aisha from the Prophet clarifies for us what Kullu Sulama means from the Prophet himself. Isn't it? Because he says, whoever does these things has taken account for these 360 sulama joints. That's the meaning of it then. فَإِنَّهُ يَمْشِي يَوْمَ إِذٍ. Yeah? Then surely he or she walks on that day وَقَدْ زَحْزَحَ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ, and they have saved their souls on that day from the fire. Abu Tawbah, in this version of hadith, if Sahih Muslim, says, رُبَّمَا قَالْ يُمْسِي رَادًا يَمْشِي, rather than saying that that person will walk on that day having been saved from the fire. The other meaning is, because he said, I might have misheard it, that he or she gets to the evening for that day having saved themselves from the fire. That fits with what we said earlier on, didn't we? Yeah? Whoever does it during the day, they're always saving themselves by the evening. If they've done these good deeds, yeah? Done these good deeds, then that day, Allah said in Hadith Qudsi, I'll be enough for them till the end of the day. Yes? You understand? So this hadith has both meanings though, because the narration also says they will walk on the day of judgment having been saved from the fire. That means if you carry on doing this kind of thing. Yeah? And there's also hadith of which is a Hassan hadith. It's good hadith. Sheikh Albani says Sahih. My Sheikh Abdullah Judai says it's Hassan. Good. So we can accept it as a good hadith. It's not weak. From Abi Buraida, another Sahabi, Yaqul, he says, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Fil insan 360 mafsilan. In every human being, there are 360 joints. He's saying it as well from the Messenger of Allah now. Okay. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَصَدَّقْ, and upon the person is that he gives charity on behalf of each joint and كُلِّ مَفْسِلٍ مِنْهُ بِصَدَقَةٍ. Yeah. What does that sound like? Sounds like the hadith we're talking about, doesn't it? You understand? And it's using the word mafsil now, mafsil or mafasil, which is joints. So sulama means mafsil. Yeah? Mafsil min husa bisala. Qalu. This adds further. They said, Sahaba, wa man yutiku dhalika ya Nabi Allah. They're thinking 360 good deeds. They're saying, and who has ability to be able to do that, or Messenger of Allah? In other words, we're going to find it difficult. Okay? وَمَنْ يُطِيقُ ذَلِكَ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Notice now, this is You see, because 360 implication is that you're busy doing things, but not obligatory to the sense that you can't bear it. So what the Prophet said, "An-nukha'atu fil masjidi tadfinuha." Spittle in the masjid that you bury with your foot with sand. وَالشَّيْءُ تُنَحِّيهِ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And a thing that you remove from the pathway, similar to the other hadith. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ. And if you're even unable to do that, فَرَكَعَتَ الدُّحَى تُجْزِئُكَ. Then two rakas of Salatul Duha will be enough from you, will be accepted from you. So the 360 joints of doing good deeds, it's enough if you can't do that. You just put cover the spittle. How's the spittle in the mosque? They weren't carpeted like now, is it? Yeah. So it indicates that sometimes Sahaba used to spit in the mosque. Other authentic hadith actually mention Prophet ﷺ, because what was the ground? Sand and pebble. Dogs used to walk in and out, Ibn Umar says, from the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ and urinate sometimes and go out. Yeah? Well, no. They used to just throw water on it, or if they didn't know, it just dried off. But it wasn't a mosque. You can't apply that today's mosque and say, sorry, I let the dog in urinate. It's all right, I'll spit in the mosque. Did they spit, Sahaba? Yes, they did. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're going to spit during Salah, do not spit ahead of you or to the right of you. Yeah, but spit to the left and bury it with your foot. He's talking about during Salah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's authentic hadith. Because it is the height, he said, you are praying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the Qibla. Yeah? So this is height of irreverence that you're doing salah facing the Qibla. It's like facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you spit in that direction. You understand? So it's about adab and etiquette. So he allowed spitting to the left and to bury it. So in case it wasn't buried, somebody else comes along and buries it. This is sadaqah. Spitting it. And if you do it, cover it. If you're the one done it, cover it. It's a sadaqah for who? Not for you. It's a charity. It's why is it similar to removing something harmful from the road? It's rather you're covering it because somebody else is going to pray and you don't want to end up putting their head or foot in your spittle. You understand why it's sadaqah? Yeah. So you see here that when they say who can do 360 good deeds, yeah, you see from that, and the response of the Prophet is an encouragement to be busy doing good deeds. It doesn't mean exactly I have to do 360. This is language and balagha. Yeah, when he says on each joint is due 360, you don't mean to say all day long you've got to do 360 good deeds. Because why is Salatul Duha two rakahs accepted instead of it? It's actually you move all your 360 joints when you do it anyway.
How many do you, if you pick something off the floor?
You're using your whole body again. Yeah. So don't, it's not literal. And this is language. When Prophet is speaking, you have metaphor and majaz and balagha in it. It's exaggerated. In language, like saying, you need to do good deeds all day long. Now, nobody understands from that I wake up in the morning. Yeah, all day long means be busy. Yeah, don't you say you can't sit down and have a rest? You understand how it's not literal, similar idea here. It means be busy doing good. Yeah, that's why the hadith that I mentioned last time and with the previous hadith, kullu ma'rufin sadaqah. All good that you do is a sadaqah. So I'm busy, right? The idea is not to spend your life wasting it in laziness. Yeah? Is playing games sadaqah? No. Helping your mom sadaqah? Helping your wife sadaqah? Smile to your mum, smile to your wife, smile to your children, giving them advice. Look at the things we do all day long that are full of sadaqah if you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I'm a believer. Yeah? Being neighborly, sadaqah. Yeah? Earning a living and bringing it home, I told you this last time, sadaqah, isn't it? Best of sadaqah, actually, to spend on your own family. Yeah? Rather than lazing around just playing games. Yeah? However, playing games, and I mean just competing, doing, you know, you might play a football game to keep yourself fit. Yeah? That's the sadaqah on who? On yourself. Isn't it? Because we're also told to look after ourselves, aren't we? It's an amana, the jism, the body. Yeah? So actually, that's a sadaqah as well. So when I say game, don't get the idea, oh, I can't play any football, there's no sadaqah in it. There is. Yeah? And if I, my job is, if I go and play cricket or a sport and I get earning and bring it for my family, it's my job. Is it a sadaqah? It becomes a sadaqah. Yeah? So everything has to be looked at very carefully rather than just having sweeping statements. But the point here, again, in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, Yusbihu ala kulli salama, every morning on every joint. Now we know what salama means, don't we? Despite what the ulama have said, yeah, the best cross-reference is the Prophet himself telling you what it is. So I'm clear what salama means. Because the Prophet uses it interchangeably with joint. And actually, before I move on, it is interesting, as far as I'm aware, from the anatomists and biologists and the medics in the world till this day, the number of joints in the body of a human being is 360. It's one of the mu'jizat of the Prophet. Prophet didn't go around counting every joint. This is true. He's given through wahi. He's saying it. It's authenticated in various ahadith. Yeah. Now, which joint you don't count and count, now we can have a debate on is that joint count, is that not? Forget all that. Okay. And if it's 360, remember, Imam Nawawi said 40 hadith. He put 42 in it, but he still means 40. Yeah. And 360, they say, oh, well, so it might not include certain joints if you say there's more, or if you say there's less, it might include other joints that you haven't included. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? But the most common opinion amongst the anatomists till this day is the human body has 360 joints. Well established. Yeah. Some try to differ and say, oh, no, on this, but really, that's what's established. So, in this hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is Abi Dharr's hadith, يُسْبِعُ لَا كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Each one of you, every morning, requires on behalf of every joint to give a charity. فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةً. And every subhanAllah is a sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةً. That's similar to the last hadith, and similar to the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, isn't it? That I've just mentioned, where she mentions 360 joints, what the Prophet ﷺ said. And in that is tasbih again, tahleel, tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, and kullu tahleelatin sadaqah. You see the interchangeability of hadith number 25 and 26, which is what we're on, 26 now. Yeah. Wa kullu takbiratin sadaqah, which was in the previous hadith as well. Every Allahu Akbar is a sadaqah. Wa amrun bil ma'roof sadaqah. In hadith number, yeah, that's the hadith. In fact, hadith number 25, if you remember, is the hadith of Abi Dharr. So this is another version of the same hadith of Abi Dharr, because it's Abi Dharr in this hadith as well. Except in this one, he's mentioning every joint. In the other one, it wasn't that. The other one, if you remember, Abu Dharr mentioned that poor companions came and said the rich Sahaba are running away with all the rewards. But one of the versions of Abu Dharr is mentioning that every joint, it's like Prophet giving a recommendation for those who are poor to be, they can be doing other things, yeah, on behalf of the fact that Allah's given them all these joints and be busy in doing lots of good And stopping wa nahyun al munkar, as in the hadith, is a sadaqah. Wa yujzi'u min dhalika rak'atan yarka'uhuma min ad-duha. And what will compensate for all that is somebody praying two rakahs of duha in the morning. And you see, take that in a context. If you look at the previous hadith, and other hadith I mentioned in the last hadith explanation, this one, you've got rich people who are able to give charity. Then you've got other sahaba who are poor. And amongst the sahaba will be those who are young and able to do lots of things, but there'll be those who are old and will not be able to do those things. Yeah. So I would say, a duha, rak'atul duha, is more implied for those who have less ability, because the one who's saying, Ya Rasulullah, who can do all this, right? Yeah. Amongst them are weak, amongst them who are old, but a young person, can they be more busy in doing other things? Yeah. So when he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take it in a context, it's enough for you to do salatul duha. If it was that only, all the Muslim world said, well, I'm not going to remove anything for harmful for the Lord. I don't need to anymore. I'm not going to help anybody, do anything. I'm not going to smile. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to, I'll just do two rakahs of duha. Is that correct to do? Would it be? Is that Islamic character? Do you think that's what Prophet is encouraging? Forget all that. Just do two rakahs. There's no need for him to say all that. Then there's no need for Allah to send in the Quran about doing good to other people and obligations, is there? If two rakahs of duha is enough. So put two rakahs of duha in its place. First, it's voluntary. Yes, it's got great reward, but the implication is it'll be enough for you because you and your body are not able to be able to take all and do all this. That's how I understand it. And if you're young and you do all that, removing something harmful and helping people, and then do salatul duha as well, you've got ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, as Prophet said, when those poor people, Sahaba, said, the rich people have heard what you've said about doing lots of good works, which don't involve finance and material, and they've started doing this as well. What did the Prophet say? So they're doing both. He said, that's the bounty of Allah. He gives to whomever he wills. And in some hadith, he says, and for anybody who does same as you from these things, which don't involve material spending, they'll get the same reward. Unless somebody comes along and does more than that, they'll get more. So if somebody does salatul duha, and I do helping people, removing something harmful from the road and all that, and do salatul duha, who's going to get more reward? You understand? Yeah, very important to understand that. Now, let's come back to that. Was really to show you that with salatul duha, I'll mention something about later on in regards to this hadith. But so I wanted to clarify this joint idea, which I hope I have done, and the 360 joints, which is linked with it's the same hadith, really, reported by various sahaba. What Imam Tufi does is then go down and divide, as others have done before, he divides sadaqah into two kinds. That which is materials based, which we get from the previous hadith anyway. I mentioned this last with the last hadith. So he divides it into amwal of giving, and he divides it into af'al of doing. And under doing, he divides it into two categories as well. That which you do for yourself, remember I mentioned this, and that which you do to benefit others. What do you do to benefit yourself? La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, salatul duha. Yeah, it's not benefiting anybody else, it's benefiting me. Yeah. And that which you do to help others. And as I mentioned with the last hadith, what is greater reward is going to be helping others. You see, if my salah is actually teaching me anything, including extra salah, it is to be good to others. Because being bad to others, which is the opposite, is going to land me in very serious trouble, is it not? Including other, including even the environment and the animals. Yeah? Including the animal, and I'll come to that. Yeah? Which should, and what shows us that? Because if you look at the bankrupt person, Manil Muflis, Qala Rasulullah, who is the bankrupt one? They say, Ya Rasulullah, it's the one who's got no dirham or dinar, they've got nothing, no money. Then he said, the muflis, the bankrupt one, is the one who comes on the day of judgment with lots of salah, lots of fasting, yeah, and lots of giving sadaqah immaterially. Then comes the one that they insulted, then comes the one that they slapped, then comes the one, yeah, and a queue forms. What's happening? And what happens with all these things of sadaqah that I gave to myself? They're all going to be taken away because of the rights of others. Yeah? And you know, that's why for ulama, fuqaha quite rightly say from Quran and Sunnah, that the rights of Allah, when you do tawbah, will be forgiven. But when you've encroached the rights of others, Allah will forgive you from his side of the sin. But what about the person that you've murdered or you've hurt and you've injured? How's that going to be forgiven? That's still outstanding, by the way. Because justice requires, unless they forgive you while they're alive in this world, yes? So I've stolen some money from somebody. They died. I made tawbah to Allah, reform. I used to be a robber and a thief. So Allah will forgive me, inshallah, we pray if I'm sincere. We believe in that. Tawbah, Allah will forgive a believer. Yeah, that person's gone. Yeah. So they're going to ask for compensation on the day of judgment. So that's why ulama say do lots of good deeds in case you've not asked forgiveness for even the sins that you've done on others. They're going to ask for compensation. So if you've got lots of good deeds, at least you may be able to compensate them because they'll be given to them. And then when they run out in the hadith of who's the bankrupt one, what happens then? The Prophet said, and the person's good deeds run out and the people are still standing there for their right. The one you slapped and the one you insulted and the one you did this and that to. Yeah. So now what happens? Prophet said, now, because there's nothing for you to compensate them, they take their bad deeds and they throw them on this person, and then he or she is thrown into the fire. That hadith itself tells you which is a greater priority, to be good to others. Not to forget, of course, your dhikr and your salah, because it's going to help you to be good to others. But if you think you can limit it to just that from this hadith, that's why I said Salatul Duha, yeah, doesn't cover that you don't need to do anything good. Yeah? This is the example. So, from the doings is those came in this hadith, or what you do to others. And from doings, not involving material benefit, is dhikr and ibadah, what you do as a sadaqah for yourself. Of yourself, as you praise Allah and thank Him. But if you go back to the purpose of ibadah, which the Quran tells you, isn't it? If fard salah, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Surely salah prevents you from lewdness and all kinds of wrong, meaning to others. Doesn't it? Does that include Salatul Duha, by the way? Of course it does. If the fard salah, its purpose is that, of course there's dhikr and reminder, but the reminder is of Allah that He's going to punish me if I do evil. That's what salah is for. So Salatul Duha is also telling you, yeah? And when it's saying that, it means, what's the opposite of that, of doing munkar and bad? Of doing good. So my salah is telling me to go and do good, is it not? Yeah? Including my voluntary salah. And salah is dhikr. What's the main purpose of salah? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Does all of that come in salah? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, two rakas, or salatul duha, because they're all there. Tasbih, tahleel, tahmeed, it's all there, including the moving up and down. Yeah, and that's going to teach you. Salah is a reminder to teach you to be good to others, isn't it? So we must remember the implications of that. Now, what I really like is where Ibn Rajab went with this idea of sadaqah. And what he does is that he says, quite rightly, that the real meaning of kullu salama, yeah, every joint, min an-nas, of human beings, has a duty to be, there are sadaqah, charities given on its behalf. Every day the sun comes up. What Ibn Rajab says, what I also think is the best explanation, is from an angle of, because joints in majaz, in metaphor, you can mention a part, but it means the whole. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet has been mentioning the joints, the 360 of them, but the 360 joints is not a skeleton standing there in the cupboard, is it? The 360 joints represents who? The nas, it says, kullu salama min an-nas. The 360 joints is an indication of the human being, how he or she has been put together by Allah in this majestic way. But it represents not only the joints, it represents the whole. Do you understand? Yeah. In rhetoric, in balagha, when a part is mentioned, but it's an important part, yeah, a part can be mentioned, but it's referring to the whole. It's referring to the whole. Yeah. And that's the idea here. The idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, human being, made you in this form. Yeah. You should be grateful for the form He's given you and all the bounties He's given you. Every day the sun comes up. And the sun coming up every day is not a bounty of Allah. The sun coming up is not literal again. Because you don't say, well, I'm in Manchester, the sun, we never see the sun, it's always raining. Do you understand what literalist meaning? It's not literalist meaning. Does the sun still come up? Yeah. You can't say, I live in Lapland, in Norway and Sweden, and for, you know, 4 or 5 months of it, sun doesn't ever come up. And for the other 6 months, sun's always up. We have the midnight sun. So this hadith doesn't apply to me. Just this nonsense. Yeah. It means every day you've been given life. That's an expression being used to describe a day, a time in your life. It's an expression, not to be taken literally and play games with it. It's an expression to imply every day you've been given life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that not a bounty itself? Yeah. So the sadaqah is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties to you. That's the purpose of these hadith. Really, it is. Yeah. Shukr. Yeah. And the 360 joint, meaning every part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha innal insana la zalumun kaffar. After mentioning all the various bounties Allah has given to the human being of the day and the night and the rivers and the seas, yeah, things that we take for granted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you were to count ni'mat Allah, the bounties of Allah, you will never be able to, the favors of Allah on you, you will never be able to count them. La tuhsuha. Yeah. Shall we sit down and start counting them? You'll be here forever. Where are you gonna start? Where are you gonna stop, actually? Yeah. La tuhsuha. Innal insan. Surely the human being is inclined towards injustice, wrongdoing, dhulumun, kafar, being ungrateful. Except the believer. That doesn't mean the believer here, because believer is not meant to be dhulum, zalim, wrongdoer, unjust, and ungrateful. Is the believer meant to be ungrateful? The word kafar is used because it is kuffar who are kafar. You understand me? Because one of the meanings of kufr is ingratitude. Yeah. Why? Because the original meaning of kafara is to cover up. So disbelievers are covering up. They know the truth that God exists, but they are covering it. And how does it apply to ingratitude? All the bounties Allah has given, they're just covering it, ignoring, not appreciating, and showing gratitude to Allah is to cover up the gratitude. Pretend it wasn't there. Pretend I've made myself. Pretend I did everything. Yeah, I'm so great. That is kufr. Ingratitude and disbelief. Both are implied in kufr. Yeah. So that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Luqman, he says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, we gave Luqman wisdom. What was that? Anishkur lillah. So be grateful to Allah. Yeah. Anishkur lillah. Wa man yashkur fa innama yashkuru li nafsi. Whoever is grateful, then they are grateful for their own good. Sadaqah. Who's it benefiting really in the end? Allah or us? For me. Therefore, whoever is grateful to Allah, they're grateful for their own good. Yeah. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. Notice what the verse comes out with now, the opposite. After shukr, Allah describes the opposite, the one who doesn't give thanks. And Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. So how does you translate that in the Quran? It should be translated, and whoever is ungrateful. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. For surely Allah is all rich, above all need, all praiseworthy anyway. Doesn't need your praise and my praise. Doesn't need you give sadaqah or anything. Allah's rich. Allah doesn't, he's above all need. You're not in a, it's reiterating that even if you're ungrateful, it makes no difference to him. The loss is yours. Yes? And similarly, actually, I was thinking about this ayah last few weeks. Because I always used to translate it as, how is it you disbelieve or deny this verse? And I'm going to give you it now. But I think it means, how is it that you are ungrateful? Why? Well, Surah Al-Baqarah says, but it has both implications anyway. Yeah, but it needs to be mentioned in gratitude here. Why? Because Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. How is it that you're ungrateful? تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Ungrateful to Allah. When you were dead and non-existent, and he gave you life. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You were dead and non-existent, and he gave you life. Yeah? ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Then he will give you death again, and then he will give you life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then you will all return back to him. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ. You could say, how is it you disbelieve? No, how is it you're ungrateful? Because you were dead and non-existent. He gave you the gift of life. He gave you the gift of life. Then to tell you you're going to die, but he's going to give you life again. and you have an opportunity to live forever and ever immortality in paradise. How is it you're ungrateful? Yeah? And I'll finish here. The verse that comes after it gives you further indication as to why it's, how is it you're ungrateful? Because the verse then says, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He it is who has created for you everything in the earth. Subhanallah. He it is who created for you everything in the earth, in the land. Isn't that something to be grateful for? You understand why? As Allah says in the next verse, He created everything for you. ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات. Then He turned to the heavens and made it into seven heavens. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He is completely and fully aware of all things, including your ingratitude. Yeah. You see why being ungrateful fits here? Give you life, and then He gives you everything that He created for your sustenance and your leisure and pleasure in the land. So it's not to be something. That's why I was saying, how is it you're ungrateful then? Yeah. So I haven't finished with that. We're running out of time, and I'll give you a few minutes for asking questions. We'll begin with the idea of shukr. Yeah. There's a few more verses I want to mention to do with gratitude. This is important for us to realize. Yeah. Because really, that is the essence of this hadith. It comes from that attitude of shukr and gratitude. Because shukr and gratitude will lead you to be humble and to help and benefit others. Arrogance and thinking I'm full of it and I've done everything is not likely to make you be helpful to others. Materialists and atheists are not the place where poor people go and beg. They go to places of worship, even where false gods are worshipped, but they go to places of religion. That's my point, isn't it? Yeah, because the atheist is going to say, tough luck, mate. You've got a short straw. Yeah, it's all accidental. It's all just happening. All nonsense they come out with. And the nonsense they come out with, we'll discuss another day. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Any questions on what we covered? You have to remind me, shukr within. And read. You're welcome.
Quick question for me about the
Imam ibn al-Munabbit. Yeah.
So because he wrote directly from Abu Huraira, you said that he mentioned the word nushka. I didn't get
nusha. No, a transcript. Oh, his transcript. Copy. He what he had. This parchment was available for some time.
The question is, how can he not more
likely known? He's known by the Muhaddithin. He's very famous.
No,
you won't know. Because you'll know Sahaba, because normally, if you look at Imam An-Nawawi, doesn't mention the chain. He says, An Abi Huraira. So you've no idea who's reporting Abu Huraira until you go to the Hadith books in Sahih Muslim and all the other Hadith books, you'll find where it mentions, yeah, Hammam ibn al-Munabbih.
So he's part of the authentic chain.
Yes, that's the idea. And he's very famous. Muhammad, if you know him, I know him very well. But you have to be in that field to know that name. Right. Any other questions? Anything from question-wise from?
No, sure.
Oh, any other question? All right. Hope it wasn't too
obvious. No, that's good. Good to be
back. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah accept from us and forgive us, keep us guided aright, and we'll continue inshallah next week. Adhan.